So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to start reading from verse 7 here. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Verse 8, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit." Verse 9, "To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit." Verse 10, "To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues." Father, we ask that you please open up our understanding of your holy word. The Holy Spirit, God himself, the Spirit, you, Lord, you always point us to Jesus. We want to receive your grace, these gifts of grace. We believe that we are sinners, and yet we also believe that you are our Savior, you're our great high priest, your Messiah. You died on the cross for all of our sins. We confess that to you. We believe, we receive, and we want to repent, to turn away from those sins, because you give us a new life, a new beginning, a new hope. Everything is new. Oh, all those old things have passed away. But Lord, we've got our memories, we've got our habits. You need to train us in this new life. You give us a new family, and we thank you for the family here. But Father, please empower us that many of us, you've already given us these gifts of the Spirit. Help us to exercise these gifts, to take a little step of faith today. Again, we didn't go to church. We need to be the church, to love one another, to encourage each other, to pray for one another. But Father, we ask that you please would empower us here by your Spirit. Help us here, we ask. We cry out to you. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. I'm going to share with you a quote from Pastor Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapel, who used to be my pastor. "A miracle is something that is humanly impossible, but divinely simple. Difficulty always has to be measured by the capacity of the agent that is doing the work. When God is the agent doing the work, talk of difficulty is absurd." Miracles. So we're going to look a little bit at, look at this in verse 10. It says, "To another, the working of miracles." So the question, can God still work miracles today? Yes, we believe so. Okay, so Calvary Chapel, we believe the entire Bible. I know a lot of churches will say that, but we want to teach the entire Bible. Amen? Pray for us that we would. Because you need to know God's word of truth. But can God work miracles? I'm going to show you the very first verse of the Bible. It says, as you already know, let's read this together. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Do you believe this? That's the very first verse of the Bible. And what it states is that, if you want to say it this way, all the way from eternity past, or in the beginning, there was just one. Who? God. And what did this God do? He created. You did not evolve from a monkey. Man did not come from a monkey. You may have been like me growing up in school, and you learned that lie. Anybody learn that lie? Well, we want to undo that heresy. God created you. And it says he created the heavens and the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, if you could believe that miraculous very first verse in the Bible, you should have no problem believing the rest of the Bible. Amen? And here's what the Bible holds. If you could believe that, then the rest of the Bible, here, the whole Bible has reportedly 31,102 verses. So if you could believe Genesis 1, verse 1, you could believe the other 31,101 verses. The miraculous creation and eternal existence of this God. He created this planet that you and I call Earth. He created the heavens as you and I know it. How did he do that? It's because he is a God that works miracles. Amen? Can he still do miracles? Yes. So if you could believe that, you could believe the rest of the Bible. I'm going to show you also something else here. We're talking about and just looking at building the basis of the fact that God is a God who works miracles. You and I already read this. The children that are going through children's church, you learn all these stories, David and Goliath, Noah's Ark. You learn all these wonderful, marvelous miracles. But the Bible is full of God's miracles, chock full of miracles. Look at this. I color-coded it, too, so you can see the separation. This is not all of it, obviously, because there's tons and tons, dozens, hundreds of miracles in the Bible. God performed miracles as he rescued Israel. You read the book of Exodus, you see the story of the Exodus, 40 chapters there, about God's miraculous, wonderful miracles. You'll find in the book of Joshua, after Torah concludes. Torah is the first five books, also called the Pentateuch. Joshua's long day, that's Joshua chapter 10. He prayed and God listened to him. And what's interesting in that passage too, from that time, no one before, from that time and afterwards, God never listened to a man. Think about that. For those that say you want to stake it, name it and claim it, and blab it and grab it, confess it and possess it, and command Christ. No. You are not God. That is radical heresy. You are to discover and do God's will. You cannot command Christ. Amen? Read that in Joshua chapter 10. Joshua told God, we want to win this war. Can you just hold back the sun? And God's like, oh, that's a good idea. And he actually listened to the voice of a man. Now, that does not mean that you and I should not pray. But you cannot command and demand God. Amen? Now, that might sound funny to some of you, but there's a lot of people here in America that fall into that heresy, that trap of trying to be God. Or some in that capacity. Not this church, but some will say you're a little G, God, you're a little God. Like, whoa, that's Satan wanted to be that. It's only one God, amen? All right, so you see that in Joshua 10. So God held back. Some would say, okay, maybe the sun and the moon stood still, the earth stopped spinning. Don't know how God did it. But in general, when there is something that you and I call a miracle, it's something that goes against nature, you might say, or goes against the laws of physics. Thermodynamics, the laws of thermodynamics. Everything goes from order to chaos. How many of you made your bed recently? Any of you guys? Okay, one person made their bed. All right, the rest of you. Where's your mom? I'm going to call your mom. Okay. So you make your bed in the morning, perhaps. Later on, it gets messy. You clean your room. It gets messy. Everything goes from order to chaos. How can it be the opposite, where everything came from nothing, and then boom, a big bang came into play? No. Even the evolutionists are wrong. Even within their science, we know that the laws of thermodynamics, everything goes from order to chaos, not from chaos or nothingness to order. Okay? So when it goes opposite of physics, you might just classify or call that a miracle. God's a God of miracles. Into the New Testament, even. I'm not going to read everything here. You could read later on or take a snapshot of this slide. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Satan attacks that, too. Okay, what you and I celebrate during Christmas time. You can read about that in Luke chapter 1. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ. That's a miracle. Like, where do you think they got that storyline that, well, Darth Vader was born from a virgin. Where did they get that? They ripped off the Bible. That's where they got that from. The miracles of Jesus. Read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are just some of them. The very first, what was the first miracle, the first sign that Jesus did? Good. Water turned to wine. Where is it in the Bible? Book and chapter. Come on, you guys need to know. John chapter, this is my wife. John chapter 2. Good. Somebody else besides Susan. All right, good. So John chapter 2. Water turned to wine. Now, I specifically put the red heifer water. Why? Because that was a sign in Judaism. For us American Gentiles, and the Gentile church predominantly, we miss that. It's a sign in Judaism, as if Jesus is saying, you no longer are going to need this red heifer water for cleansing, for purification. Why? There's a new kid in town, Messiah Jesus. That's the very first miracle, John chapter 2. All right, so he did great catches of fish. He healed all sorts of sicknesses and diseases, healed people from their blindness. He healed people that were deaf and mute. He raised people from the dead. Even raised himself from the dead. I mean, how many people can do that? Nobody. But Jesus did that. So Jesus did the miraculous, proving that he is God. He resurrected himself. You can read also the Acts of the Apostles. You find a lot of miracles, a lot of miraculous things there. And get this, I color-coded it in the green there at the bottom. Do you know that for you to be born again, for you to be saved, that is a miracle? Turn, if you would, you see the address there. Turn to Matthew. If you're in 1 Corinthians, go to the left. Go to Matthew chapter 19, could you? Matthew's the first book of the New Testament. Let's see what Jesus had to say about this. Matthew 19, where Jesus is speaking about salvation. Verse 23, then Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew 19, verse 23, then Jesus said to his disciples, notice who he's speaking to, his disciples, his followers, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel, think of that largest animal in that area, to go through the eye of a needle, smallest hole, than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, he's not saying you take a camel, because today, like with our technology, you know, if you heat it up and grind it up enough, you could squish it through that puppy. He's not saying that. Like, it's harder. Like, oh, I know how to do that. You know, I make my own roast beef. I could ground meat up. No, it's harder. Listen to the response of the disciples in verse 25. When his disciples heard it, they're greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? They realize it's an impossibility. That's what he's saying. Who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, notice his quote here in verse 26, with men this is what? Impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So this is where we get that quote. With God, all things are possible. Amen? So, it's an impossibility for a person to be saved. Why? Because it's a supernatural, spiritual work of God. For you and I to have a spiritual birth, it is a miraculous event, isn't it? Oftentimes, we don't think of that. We think of, what can I do after getting saved? Can I do a supernatural work? Can I have this or these supernatural, spiritual gifts? But you just being a child of God, overcoming this impossibility, because with you and I, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen? That's a miracle. We oftentimes discount that. This is why your testimonies, as radical as some of yours might be, I have a radical testimony of what God did. Even from drug use, my mind was kind of, I was kind of one of those guys in California. Hey, what's up, dude? Shaka, brah. Hey. That was me for a while. And God wanted me to read and teach the Bible. And I thought, I feel stupid. I'm in a stupor. And he gave me clarity of mind. How does he do that? I don't know. I just know that our God is a God that still heals and still does miracles today. Amen? He does. He does. All right, so let's come back to 1 Corinthians 12. But you being born again, you being saved, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen? So God is still a God that does miracles. The Bible, again, is chock full of miracles. So as you and I continue on in our study of spiritual gifts, today we're going to take a little look. We can't deep dive into this too much in the New Testament, besides what we see with the apostles, but the working of miracles or the effecting of miracles. If you guys have one of these handouts, okay, Miss Letitia probably still has them, but if you guys have the handouts, okay, so we're just going through it. We want to slowly go through it. I know the teacher in me, pray for me, because the teacher in me wants to just rip right through it. But I can't get past the first verse that says that concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. One of the main areas of ignorance in the church today, globally, is on spiritual gifts. So we want to look at this. And sometimes it helps, it pays to just go slowly through this. Amen? We want to look at these things and pray. So we'll take a look at what the book says. But they're called, well, this gift is called working of miracles or effecting of miracles, depending on your translation. Today, you and I will take a little look at this. But first, I want to show you what this word miracles is. You could translate this into different things into English, but this is the original Greek word. It's the word dunamis. Now, some of you Bible students, you know what that word is. So this working of miracles, it's a supernatural working of God's power. This word, Greek word dunamis, this is the word for power. As I quoted up here in Acts 1:8, after Jesus resurrected, after he ascended, or right before his ascension, Jesus is saying in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power, you shall receive dunamis, translated in our in 1 Corinthians 12 as miracles, okay? Power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea. And there we go. Great. And in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So Jesus was saying that these disciples were going to receive dunamis, power. And what we see with them in the book of Acts, 28 chapters, that's the book of Acts, we see many miracles that these disciples, a follower, and then when Jesus sends them, they're apostles. Apostles, one who is sent, a disciple is a follower. They follow Jesus first. Second, they were sent. Amen? We need to do the same. I want to be used by you. God, please use my life. Okay, get discipled first. A lot of times we want the microwave, the shortcut. There ain't no shortcut with God, though, right? So the word for miracles is the Greek word dunamis. So it says here, again, it's quoted here, but on the slide, verse 10, to another the working of miracles, or working of dunamis, working of power. It's miracles. Now, this is something that comes from God. And if he so chooses, I believe he still can use this gift today. We may not see it very much in America, but we believe that it still exists. Now, some people claim, especially missionaries in other places, perhaps where you need to have more faith, perhaps where it's more like the book of Acts. People are like, oh, God, we're going to die unless you show up and do something. And all of a sudden, boom, he does something. Maybe someone's praying, and all of a sudden, boom, there's a miraculous thing that gets done. We somehow in America, we don't see this too much. But we still believe the Holy Spirit hasn't died. Amen? And there's no indication. There's people that will say, intellectual, when you study, I know because I used to fall to this, the intellectualism side of things, that, okay, I don't see it. I'm a logical person. I'm highly analytic. I'm very analytic. Anybody else analytical here? You want to see it, and you're like the Doubting Toms. I want to test it. Show me proof. I want to see the YouTube video. But YouTube wasn't even invented back then. Okay, so it doesn't exist now. So if I can't see it, I can't test it, I can't touch it with my hands, it doesn't exist. So there's a lot of people today that they love the Lord their God with their mind intellectually, but not with their heart and soul, like we're commanded to. We got to be careful. So we believe the working of miracles, it's found here in verse 10. It's also mentioned at the end of the chapter. We believe that it still exists. However, we may not see it. I would like to see it. Okay, especially if you got the gift of working of miracles or effecting of miracles. If you got the gift of, it says gifts of healings, and it's for physical type of healings and miraculous things, great, I'm going to take you to the hospitals. Okay, but be prepared, because you're going to be all over the news. This is probably one reason why we don't see it happen too much in America. Because, you know, people want to go from being a prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, to, oh, I can profit, P-R-O-F-I-T. I don't know. I just know and believe that according to the Bible, it's still here. God has not died. And there's no indication in Scripture, when Scripture is your authority, not man's opinion. Amen? Why do I say that? Because there are people that today, that's not Calvary Chapel, that's not me, that's definitely not this church. There are some people today that say and believe that these gifts, especially these miraculous ones, gift of tongues, miracles, healings, they say that those have ceased. We call that classification in the body of Christ, cessationist. We are not, definitely not cessationist. Even Calvary Chapel, the symbol for Calvary Chapel is the dove descending. Picture of like Acts 2 or the baptism of Jesus, the empowerment of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're not Pentecostal, but we believe on the day of Pentecost, it still continues today, where God can and has empowered his people. Amen? Okay? So we just believe the Bible and Jesus. That's it. So the Bible is your final authority. I can't preach that enough. Okay, because I don't want you leaving here. It's like, well, this guy, or John MacArthur, says it ceased. No, read your Bibles. God, even people today, some today, people I love to hear about certain things, but I got to be careful by how they talk about gifts of the Spirit, because some of them will exercise gifts of the Spirit and yet say that they don't exist. I'm like, that's a weird oxymoronic thing, kind of ironic. There are gifts that are still being exemplified today. All right, so the working of miracles, it's obvious if you look at it and you ask, okay, who is given this? Look at this in verse 10, continuing on a series where one is given. Look at verse 8. One is given this one to another, this one. Look at verse 9, to another, faith, to another, gifts of healings. And then continuing on, verse 10, to another. So are every person, every born-again Christian, given this gift or given all gifts? Obviously, no. Look at verse 29. Going to the end of the chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? So within this rhetorical question, obviously it requires no response. The obvious conclusion from that question is no. All are not given this working of miracles. Okay? Just to kind of shelve it where you go, okay, this is what the Bible says. Opinion may have said another thing. We believe it still exists, but not all people are given that. Why? You can ask the giver. I'm not the giver of the gifts, okay? And I'm not one to dispense. Some people say they're dispensers of the Holy Spirit. No, we're not, okay? You go to God. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit from and through Jesus Christ. So are all workers of miracles? Obviously, the question begs the answer. We don't have to answer it, but the solution, the answer is what? No. Not everybody's given that. And obviously, not everybody's given all gifts, too. Amen? All you got to do is read the Bible within context. All right, so again, are these working of miracles still in use today? So that's debatable, that's questionable, but we may not see this gift at work very much today. You may not even see it very much within this church, but you, if you believe you're a sinner, anybody believe they're a sinner? Anybody believe and receive Christ Jesus as their Savior who died on the cross? He's your great high priest. He's your Messiah, your King, etc. Your Savior for all your sins. The entire Bible prophesied about. All right, so in believing and receiving him, have you repented? Turned away from your sins? Okay, so he's given you a new life. You need to be a follower of Jesus. That's that word disciple. Amen? He wants you to be a follower. The Great Commission is that he told us, Matthew 28, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and do what? He didn't say make converts, to make disciples. He wants followers, amen? He wants you to follow him. So if you believe you're a sinner, you believe Jesus Christ is your Savior who died on the cross for all your sins, and you've repented, you've turned away, he's given you a new life. Walk in this new life. This is why the church gathers. We need to love each other. We need to encourage each other, teach his word. And to make a disciple, Jesus tells us, going on in Matthew 28, he says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So we must be about teaching the Bible. Amen? We must teach you the entire Bible. Amen? Teaching them to observe all. And teaching you for application, that you would observe. Not just hear it, or as we say, going in one ear and out the other. She's a mom. You said that before, right? All right, so we want to be those that are not just hearers only, but doers of the word, like James writes. Amen? All right. But are these workers of miracles still in use today? It's not the person, the miraculous person or the healer. It's a gift. And God could turn on at any person at any time. But obviously, it's not given to each person. So some call this, again, this gift, like working of miracles, just like the gifts of healings or tongues, some might call it or say that it died out with the apostles. Mr. Jose, can we turn on the AC? Are you guys a little warm? Yeah? Okay. This is the time of year. Sorry. Can I see you something? This is the time of year where it gets warmer to get the sun. Who here is cold? Okay, nobody's really cold. Okay, you got a jacket. There you go. Albert, you're going to have to give her another jacket maybe. All right. It's a little warm. If we could turn on the AC. It's this time of year, springtime. Come on, you guys love springtime. This is the challenging thing. Plus, you can't please everybody. Everybody knows that, right? All right, so working on miracles. Your authority is God's word, not someone else's word. Amen? Not even my word. God's word. Your authority is Scripture, is the Bible, not man's opinion. So don't listen to the intellectual crowds, the people that think they're smarter than God. Read the Bible, believe the Bible, walk out the Bible. All right, but according to God's word, this gift that we call working of miracles or effecting of miracles can still be at work today. But just like we don't see physical healings done as much, you yourself are an example that God exists and God is still doing the miraculous. So if you believe Jesus is your Savior for your sins, you've turned away from your sins, you want to be His follower, who's that? Lift up your hand if that's you. And look around the room. Keep your hand up and look around. I'm going to lift up both mine. I know I'm a sinner. Christ Jesus is my Savior. I've repented for my sins. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but we ask the Helper for help. Okay, again, look around the room, though. You are a walking miracle. Now, there's a thing called this gift of miracles, or working of miracles, effecting of miracles, that He can still give to someone. But don't think that God can't do a miracle today. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. All right. So just like we don't see these things much at work today, perhaps, you still see God miraculously working and moving. Now we're going to move on here. And then again, I want to just be mindful of the time because I want to close enough. I just get the conviction that we need to, again, not just go to church, but be the church, that you and I can pray for each other, especially as we discuss and look at spiritual gifts. Why? And even this time of year, I talk with the folks that serve. Each one I have like a one-on-one time for those that are part of the servant team. And some of the folks on the servant team say, okay, I want to pray. I believe God's called me to pray. I want to pray for others more. I want to, encourage each other. It's great. Well, God brought you guys in. And whether or not you're on the servant team, if you believe that Jesus is your Savior for your sins, you've turned away from those sins, He's given you a new beginning, a new life, a new hope. Amen? And you're part of His bride. You didn't join a church. You joined the family of God. Amen? And as part of the church, not just this local community church, but globally, He wants you to help beautify His bride. And part of that is simply praying for each other, encouraging each other, loving one another. But they got these, this and that. Yeah, Jesus washed dirty, stinky feet. Even imagine the gnarled toes of Peter. Can you guys imagine? Ladies, I don't think he had like a good mani-pedi going on. Right? Probably, I just imagine like bunions. Imagine open-toed sandals walking around dirty areas. He's a fisherman. Ew. It's like, sorry, I got a little anchovy there stuck between my toes. Sorry, Jesus. But Jesus washed their feet. How much more so should we do the same with one another? All right, so the rest of verse 10 is said to another prophecy. God willing, I think we'll pick that up next week or another time. Prophecy. Today, is oftentimes prophecy here in America, in American Christianity, we think it's just, oh, that's that person that can predict the future. Well, prophecy typically today is done, much of it is done through pulpits, prophesying or speaking forth God's word. It's not just foretelling, okay, the future. There can be some of that. Just check everything against the Bible, amen? Test all things. That's what the Bible commands us to do. But it's also forthtelling, F-O-R-T-H. Forthtelling God's word. So if I stand here and read you God's word, as Christ Jesus wants to minister to you, His wife, the bride, the church, that's didactic prophecy, speaking forth God's word. His word is a prophetic book. Amen? Okay, so prophecy can be seen many times as preaching. The Old Testament preachers, guess who they were? The prophets. They would hear from God. God would tell them, get up, go in the city, and they would speak. They would prophesy. Much of us doomed, death, and destruction. But they were the preachers in the Old Testament. Today, that's all of us. Amen? That's all of us. No, that's just you because you're in a pulpit. You have that title. No, you're a child of God. He's given you His word of truth. And you need to be like Peter. Where else are you going to go? Like in John 6. Jesus is like, this is a question for discipleship. Do you also want to go? Peter, where are we going to go? You got the words of eternal life. So you and I have that. So ladies and gentlemen, church, lift up your sword. the words of eternal life, God's word. The grass withers, that's us human beings. The flower fades. Beauty is here today, gone tomorrow. But the word of our God stands forever. God's word will stand. And according to this word, we need to love one another. I'm going to take you through a couple other passages here, and then, Susan, can we get ready in just a bit to do some more worship, and then want us to have a time of prayer. Turn, if you would. Go to 2 Timothy. If you're in 1 Corinthians, make a right turn. We're staying within the realm of Paul's 13 books. The T books are all together. You've got 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Now, is it getting too cold now? Okay. Can never please anybody or everybody all the time, right? All right, Mr. Jose, I'll let you tend to it. At least it feels a little better than before. 2 Timothy, go to chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 6 and 7. God tells you to stir up the gifts. Anybody ever make soup at home? Some of you guys love to cook, right? You make a big pot. You put it in the fridge. All the fat kind of comes in the front or the top. You got to heat it up. And then what do? You stir it up. Stir it up. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Christians, a lot of times we hear, I had someone email me and tell me 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. A lot of times it's quoted, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. But what's the context whereby which the Holy Spirit had Paul write this? Is that you and I would, in Christ, in the church, we would stir up gifts. Not that you take a bold step of faith to go conquer the world for Christ. Stir up the usage of your gifts. If you don't, it's just going to sit there dormant. Amen? And how many of you receive a gift and you love getting the gift? Nobody likes a gift, right? No, everybody's like, what are you talking about? Who here loves gifts? You all love gifts, right? Yeah, I know my wife. You married couples. I know. I can't tell her. Sometimes I'll play around with her. I got you something. Like, what? Where? And I know if Christmas is coming up or her birthday, I got to like hide it from my wife. She'll go through everything. So if I get something, some of you are like this, right? Anybody else like that? So you have a gift, you want to open it up. Do that. He says, stir it up. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. I can't use it, is what you might tell him. He's like, look, you're saying I'm not God, and you're saying I made a mistake. God is perfect and does everything perfect, right? So if he chose to give you a gift, it's because he knows it's what you need, and it's how he wants you to be used in the body of Christ. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. All right, go to the left. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And while you're setting up, 1 Timothy chapter 4, go to verse 14. We're going to have a time. Prepare your hearts. I want to see. I believe God's wanting to have us here. And when we're done, Josh, you can just go ahead and stop the recording and stop the live stream in a bit. Okay. Once I'm done praying for the Bible study time, and then you don't have to feel like, oh, I'm going to be on the live stream. Oh, I'm going to be recorded. No, we're going to stop that. And the body of Christ can simply be the body of Christ, ministering to one another. So 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, look at this. Do not neglect the gift. Some of you have been neglecting the gift. I don't have faith. Well, we just read in 2 Timothy, you got to stir it up. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. And you got to stir it up. So 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which is given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So some of you might need to hear that. Go from 1 Timothy 4, go to the right. Go to 1 Peter 4, and we'll end with this, and then we can have a time where we can worship. And some of you, I know because I've spoken to some of you this past week or so, some of you want to pray for others. Great, here's your time. Okay, you're already saved if you believe. Again, you believe Jesus Christ is your Savior. Whoever believes that you're a sinner and Christ Jesus is your Savior, died on the cross for your sins. He's your Messiah. He's your great high priest. He's the one that died, was buried, was resurrected. And then you turned away. You repented from your sins. And we want to ask him for the help. He's already given some of you spiritual gifts. You need to stir it up. You need to not neglect your spiritual gifts. And then 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Some of you guys are asking, God, use my life. Well, can he use you today? No. I'm too shy today. Use me tomorrow, God. No. That's why God brought you in here today, here and now. Amen? All right. Verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift. I love that. You've already received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A steward is not the owner. You have to steward these things well. He's expecting you. God, use my life. God, help me. Give me more faith. If you give me faith, then I'll take a step. Okay. He'll give you at least enough faith to do what he's asking you to do. Amen? Pretty simple. He's asking you to simply take a step. Don't neglect the gifts. Stir up the gifts. The steward, look at what it says here. It's good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Be a good steward. You don't have to be perfect. That's why you need a perfect Messiah. Amen? But you're a steward. It's a gift of the Spirit that comes by and through Jesus Christ. He's given you these things. And again, the gifts are called gifts of grace. It's because this God is a God of grace. It's not because you deserve it. It's not because you worked hard or I earned this. No, you received it. It's a gift. You need to open it up just like any other gift and use it. Show that you love him. Show that you can exercise your faith. Notice in verse 11, some of you are given a speaking gift, maybe encouragement. When I talk with the servant team, there's over 20 of us that are serving. A bunch of the servants, about half of you guys that are serving, believe you're given like gifts of encouragement. Some of you are. Great. God brought you in here. Pray for who you can encourage. In just a minute, you can encourage someone else here. That's a speaking type of gift. If anyone speaks, look what he says here. Let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, you want to serve God? Who here wants to serve God? Great. Guess what it says here? If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. God wants you to serve him with what he equips you with. I love that. He's going to command you to do something that's beyond your reach so that you have to cry out to him for a supernatural help. And he's going to equip you to do what he's asking you to do. That's ministry. And you need to do these things, he says, with the ability. He's going to enable. God, I'm not able. Someone like Moses, I can't speak. Moses didn't have, like some people say, Moses had a stuttering problem. Anybody hear that? I heard a lot of teachers say that, even Calvary Chapel teachers. Like, look at it in the context. The New Testament interprets the Old. And you see in the book of Acts, you see Stephen in the New Testament, filled with the Holy Spirit, face shone like an angel. He's rightly interpreting what that meant. And it says Moses was a man, he says something like this, contextually. Moses was a man of powerful words and deeds. He didn't stutter. So I remember my Bible college times, what we would say is Moses had what we call Moses disease. He wasn't sure of himself. Now, how many of you, you're just like me? I still, even today, standing before you, like, I don't deserve to speak on God's behalf. I still feel like, oh man, why do I do this? I don't want to. I can conjure myself out of these things, right? I can analytically tell God, even like, no, you can't use me. I used to say that. You can't use me because of this, that, and the other. Like, I'm sorry, you're perfect. You always do everything perfect. You're holy. You're righteous, but you made a mistake here. You chose me to do this. You gave me this gift. Like, no, he didn't make a mistake. He chose you for salvation, and also he empowered you with a gift, or gifts, plural. You need to use these gifts. Notice, do it with the ability which God supplies. Why would he do this? That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Ready? So God wants you to exercise spiritual gifts. He wants you to use the gifts, stir up the gifts. Don't neglect these spiritual gifts. Why? We learn in 1 Peter 4 that God would get the credit, that he would get the glory. So if you're just operating within your strength, God, I'm going to do everything my way because I'm that, you know, that dirty C word, control. I'm the one in control. Right? Remember that Janet Jackson song? When I listen to that now as a Christian, I'm like, ugh, I shudder at that. Ugh. I don't want to be in control. I want him to be in control. Amen? When I was in control, I was going to die and burn in hell. And with Jesus, I surrendered to him and the empowerment of his spirit. And it gives me that self-control. Now he wants to control your life. He wants to use your life. Doesn't matter how old or how young you are. He can still use you. And he wants to. Will you allow him to, Christian? All right, let's all stand, please. I'm going to close with a word of prayer to close out this time, this session, and then right after, Josh, you can stop the live stream and the recording. We're going to worship, and as we have our time of worship, musical worship, if anybody wants prayer, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Raise your hand where you are, and if you see someone with their hand raised, gather around them. You're the church. So again, you didn't go to church. You are the church. And just like your bodies, the body of Christ, some of you, if you need prayer, even where you're sitting and you can't stand, that's okay. You can raise your hand, but gather around the people that want prayer. And then if you want prayer, simply just tell people how to pray for you. Maybe it's that you would have faith to take a step of faith to serve God, to maybe to pray for someone right here and now. Again, some of you are called to pray. Some of you have speaking gifts, like encouraging gifts. Encourage the person next to you, the people that are here. Because each and every one of you wants love, wants comfort from God, wants encouragement. And let's just do that right here and now. So again, I'm going to close with a word of prayer. We'll have our time of worship. But if you want prayer, simply raise your hand. You could even do it now. But let's close for this time in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for this time, Lord. We didn't go to church. That's unbiblical. We are the church. Jesus, you said, I will build my church. You didn't build this building. You built us, and it was a miraculous work. You sustain us, and we thank you for that. And Father, we ask, can you please, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, can you empower each of us here? Help us to stir up those spiritual gifts you've already given to us. Help us, Lord, that we won't neglect the spiritual gifts. Help us that we would also use these gifts that you've enabled us with, that we would take even a little baby step of faith today by praying for someone else. Encourage our hearts to be encouragers here. Protect us for this time. This is a holy moment, I believe. Minister to your wife, to your bride, the church. Bring about even spiritual healing, heart healing, mental healing with our thought life, that you would renew our minds. Maybe someone here needs a physical healing. We want to gather around them and pray for them. So help us today. Help us during this moment to stir up those gifts that we can grow and you would be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen.